Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. And I'm going to give you, Jedis, the next step we are all going to take in order to manifest a better, happier world. I'm going to give you a simple manifestation tip, a step that we are all going to do to continue this fight against the virus fear, to evaporate whatever that is. And I want every single one of you to do it. And actually, this is something that is going to apply not just to this one area, but to your entire life. We've gone from something very specific to something that's going to be much broader and reach out even farther and further in order to make the world a better, happier place. And this is actually a happy show. I've got some good news for you, because before I get into this next step and I tell you what I want you to do, what our next manifestation exercise is, I just want to give you a little update on my status, because of course I haven't done a podcast now in a week or so. I told you, sure enough, I'm working right now on two different television shows. And it's been really weird, because some of the stuff, you know, I'm having to do some travel. Some of the stuff we shoot in person, just like you normally would with a TV show. And then some of the stuff we're having to do through Skype and different video interfaces to be creative and kind of work around all this virus stuff. So it's a really weird time to be in the middle of TV production. And plus, you know, you never know. I could be filming something at any hour of the day. So my schedule's kind of all over the place. And I've even had to turn down some radio interviews because I can't commit right now to my schedule until these TV projects are in a more stable place. And so I'm going to be working on one of the big ones, at least I know, for the rest of this week. So this may be the last podcast I'll be able to give you for another week. I'm just not sure how things are going to work out here. But when I'm not on the set, then, you know, I'm here at my house. Everything's great with me and Lauren. And, you know, I tweeted the other day that I seriously doubt I'm going to get the coronavirus and die. But eating all the junk food in the house, that's going to probably shave a few years off the end of this. Maybe you feel the same way. I'm starting to feel that being tempted to eat and drink everything in the house. And then, of course, one person responded and said, well, that just means you have to hit the gym twice as hard when all this is over. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's funny. Sure, that's going to happen. So, but no, everything is good here. And here's the really good news, though. The really good news is there has been a continuing wave of love and inspiration and motivation from people all around the world, people who are using manifestation techniques, people who are using the sigil and exposing themselves to the sigil every single day. And you know what? I know a lot of people all around the world. And because that's sort of part of my business. You know, I work in the media, whether it's TV or radio or live events or whatever. I know a lot of people around the world. I've been doing this for most of my life. And not one single person that I know has contacted me to say I have coronavirus. So isn't that wonderful? I'm blessed, and I want to keep it that way. All right, because you have to, I mean, you can't look out and judge what's happening in the rest of the world. You really can't. You just have to pay attention to what you're doing in your own life and what the people that you know are doing and the people who directly contact you are doing. And in fact, it's interesting. I got an email just yesterday from a man who listens to this program on a regular basis. His name is Joe, and I want to read you his email. It says, greetings from Florida. He said, just wanted to let you know I'm working for the Army National Guard in Miami right now, and there's nothing like being on the front line. My wishing machine is busily humming away back home, and I just started reading your Use the Force book. Your work is more important now than ever, and I appreciate everything you do that can help maintain any sense of normalcy in today's environment. Best wishes and thanks again. And that comes from Joe. Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you. That means a lot to me and to everybody listening to this podcast because, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, well, we know you're sane, right? You're one of, you're one of us. So, yes, God bless you and what you're doing out there. Because, you know, the thing is, it's important for all of us to realize that, yeah, there is something, there's a real virus here, and there are real steps that you have to take to try to protect yourself. You know, do all those things, you know, do all those logical things. But it is also important that we don't let people scare themselves to death, because that is a real thing, you know, stressing too much and scaring yourself to death. And so I just remember this. It's horrible that, yes, we have this situation where people are suffering and dying, but facing the reality, statistically, right now, as and of course this is going to change every day, but right now in the United States we have 141,000 cases. But 10 years ago, when we had the H1N1 swine flu, we had 60.8 million cases that came from that in the span of a year. So I don't know how the coronavirus is going to match up with that. But there's still a long way to go before it even becomes at the same level that the swine flu was. And as you can see, the swine flu is just a memory from 10 years ago. It wasn't the apocalypse. It didn't destroy civilization. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind when you start realizing like how much you should or should not flip out and panic over this, because it's just not a reasonable thing to do. So you have to stay extremely positive. And by the way, maybe you experienced this in your circles, because I certainly did. The negativity shock is over. What I mean by that is, as soon as I came out and started saying, look, folks, let's stay positive here. This is not going to be the end of the world. Oh boy, did I piss off a lot of people. And that is a formidable force, because the people out there who are negative people, they get really pissed off if you're supposed to be really afraid and you're not. Now, being afraid doesn't mean being irresponsible and reckless and not doing common sense things in order to stay safe and follow the law and follow the rules, okay? I'm just saying they get really pissed off if you are not scared to death and doom and gloom and the sky is falling, right? And that is because you're not falling for this line of, you know, 24-hour fear that's being fed to you, like it's the only thing that matters in the entire world. So I don't know what happened to all the news regarding everything else that happens in the world. But so there was this initial like shockwave, like the front lines of the Sith, of the Empire, you know. And usually people who are feeding fear, they think they are doing you a favor by giving you that fear. And they call themselves realistic. And they say, you're minimizing this by being positive and not being scared today. And they say all these demeaning things because they're very arrogant, condescending types, because that's what negative energy is. Negative energy gets really, really pissed off when you don't play by its playbook. So when you say, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm playing by the rules, And I'm just not gonna freak out other than that. Like, they don't like it, and they don't like you to tell other people not to freak out. So you probably experienced, maybe you lost some Facebook friends, maybe, well, I don't know, whatever. That's fine. But that initial shockwave, like that first line of negative people that roared in and went, ah, were really hateful. If you started saying, look, this is not going to end the world, If you made it through that, well, now you're in good shape, because now they got that out of their system, and now it's time for us to really get to work. And you know what? It's funny, when I was thinking about judging the world, and this really goes back to also the lessons of Ho'oponopono, which is the idea that ultimately the whole world, for you, it just takes place between your ears, right? Like your world is the product of what your senses are able to process. So that's why if what's happening between your ears shuts down, well, then this world is gone for you. You're dead. So the world happens in your brain. And I'm not saying to be a solipsist and say you're the only person in the world and this is all just a big dream, which who the hell knows? I can't disprove that, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that sometimes you're not just receiving information in your brain and saying, oh, I'm just, you know, observing this and being victimized by all this, but maybe you can change the way that information is sitting in your brain and it somehow changes the projection, right? Because you are a participant in all this. So the idea, you know, I wrote about it and I called it the mirror effect, but the idea that maybe, you know, if you focus more on what's happening inside your brain, you'll be amazed by how much it changes this thing that you perceive as your reality. So everybody else out there can tell you about their horror stories, but if you look around and like you're doing okay, well, then that's good, you know? But here's another thing I want to point out, and I thought of this, and I really hate to keep referring back to my book here, but boy, you know, just as Joe said, there are some points maybe in this book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, that are more fitting now than ever. And one of them is, I have it on page 154 here, and it's under a subheading called Gossip and Useless Knowledge. And I'm going to read this little section to you. It says, there is a story about Socrates and his approach to gossip, possibly apocryphal, that has circulated for years. Here is one version. In ancient Greece, one day Socrates, the great philosopher, was approached by an excited man who said, quote, Socrates, do you know what I just heard about one of your students? Quote, wait a minute, Socrates replied. Quote, before you tell me, I'd like you to pass a little test. It's called the Test of Three. Before you talk to me about my student, let's take a moment to test what you're going to say. The first test is truth. Have you made absolutely sure that what you are about to tell me is true? No, the man said. Actually, I just heard about it. Quote, all right, said Socrates, so you don't really know if it's true or not. Now let's try the second test, the test of goodness. Is what you're about to tell me about my student something good? Quote, no, on the contrary. So Socrates continued, you want to tell me something bad about him, even though you're not certain that it's true. The man shrugged, a little embarrassed. And Socrates continued, quote, you may still pass, though, because there is a third test, the filter of usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about my student going to be useful to me? End quote. No, not really. Well, concluded Socrates, if what you want to tell me is neither true nor good, nor even useful, then why tell it to me at all? And I thought about that because when you're being bombarded by a lot of negative information, for one thing, you don't know necessarily whether or not something is true unless you are there and you witness it personally. Good? Yeah, right. Nothing anybody tells you right now is going to sound good, probably. Except for me. I'm trying to tell you. You know, I'm trying to tell you something. And the third thing, useful? Useful? If you're staying at home and you're only going out of your house when you absolutely have to, and you're not touching your face and you're washing, well, what more are you supposed to do? So at this point, pretty much any information that you get is not useful until you're told, okay, that shit is over. Now you can resume your life, right? So if you just, I mean, like, that's the only thing that could be useful for you right now is to know, like, okay, it's done. Go back to ordinary. We're not going to put you in jail now if you do this. So there's really no sense in continuing to just feed every single day all this negativity into your psyche. It doesn't do you any good. It's not useful to do that because there's nothing that you can do about it other than try to project something positive to it. And that's what we're doing through our psionic and radionic exercises. And again, I'm about to give you a tip here in a moment. But there are a lot of people that I know who are saying, there is a big silver lining to this cloud because a lot of good things are coming from this. That there are some major changes being made to the structuring of financing that are beneficial to the people, especially here in the United States, that this has been such a detriment, such a big, you know, shock, such a tremor to the economy here in the U.S. that there are some long overdue improvements being made in how things are structured financially. Every country around the world is now realizing how dependent that country has been on another country for certain resources, whether it be medicines or toilet paper or whatever, and saying, okay, maybe we shouldn't be so dependent on somebody else anymore, because you never know when this global system is going to sort of break down. So, you know, there's that adage, and I don't know where it comes from, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so I know that there are plenty of conspiracy theories out there about the fact that this whole thing has been manufactured and orchestrated. Well, look, you know, I don't know. I'll be honest, I really just don't know. But it doesn't matter to you and me at this point whether that's how this happened or if this was just a natural progression, a natural phenomenon. Either way, you have individuals out there who are taking advantage of this situation. And we just have to hope that we've all done our part in order to get individuals put in positions of power who are going to make the best decisions at this point, because you can really warp this thing either way. So I've decided that I've put out there as much knowledge that I can give about keeping this in perspective, and you know that basically it'd be nice to have a pie chart required every time there's a news story that shows certain ratios of, you know, well, this is, well, I won't even get into it because I don't want anybody to feel isolated. But what I'm saying is society is not breaking down, but what's happening right now is truly unprecedented, I think, for the whole world, because even though the world has gone through things that are way, way worse than this, we've never had this level of interconnectivity and mass media and this corporate homogenization of mainstream media. We've never had all that stuff all like working in combo here in order to create this sort of global agenda. And the good thing is also you have this situation where people are able to maybe spend time with each other that's going to benefit them in their relationship. You know, I don't have kids, but I mean, I can imagine that this may be a period of time where parents and kids are spending more time with each other than ever, which has the potential to be a really good and interesting thing. And so there may be a lot of good stuff happening right now, people sort of reprioritizing things. Don't you think the world was getting pretty wimpy for a while there? Like, oh, everybody's very sensitive about everything and very offended about everything. And maybe now this will be sort of a smack in the face, like, hey, there's a real world here that you have to pay attention to, and you're just lucky that we still have the internet and the electricity and the air conditioning and all that shit, because people didn't used to have that stuff. So maybe you ought to think about history a little bit. So look, it's not all bad. This may be a good thing in the long run. Yes, it's a shocking thing, but, and I keep using that word because it's the appropriate word, but it is what it is. You were meant to be put here to live through this, to experience this for some reason as a part of your classroom experience called life. And so do what you can about it, but don't give in to the temptation to twist this into a total negative apocalyptic thing. No, we are fighting against that. Okay, we're not going to allow that. We are going to make sure that we do whatever we can to project positivity into this. So here's what I want you to do. Okay, this is a very simple thing, but every single person listening to me right now can do this. Find a piece of paper, a little piece of paper. Post-it note will be just fine. If you have some tape, if you have some gum, it doesn't matter. You need a piece of paper you can stick on your mirror, your bathroom mirror, because I'm assuming that if you have a bathroom, it has a mirror, and probably at least once, or probably more than once per day, you look into that mirror. And when you see your face on that mirror, and you are basically looking into your own eyes, I want you to look at that note that you've stuck on your mirror. And the note should say three words. And those three words are, I am manifesting. I am manifesting. Now, here is why those words are so important. I am, well, those may be the most important words ever, right? Even if you go back to the Bible, when Moses says, you know, to God, you know, what's your name? Who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. I am. I am is the name of God. And in fact, if you've never heard my audiobook called The Oblivious Gods, you can listen to it for free if you go to, I believe it's warrenaudiobooks.com. Let me check. It's been a while since I checked that link out. I have so many websites. Okay, if you go to warrenaudiobooks.com, just my last name, W-A-R-R-E-N, warrenaudiobooks.com, you can for free listen to, it's a very short audiobook. I call it an audiobook, but hell, it's basically like a podcast, called The Oblivious Gods. I have another one called Angels and Demons Beside You. That stuff is free for you. This is stuff that I produced years ago. And warrenaudiobooks.com. The Oblivious Gods talks about the importance of I am. So you say, I am manifesting. Now here is the purpose of that. What that should show you is that whatever's going on in your head, that's what you're sending out right now. So basically, if you look at that and you're pissed off, that should snap you out of it a little bit, because that makes you realize I am manifesting a pissed off vibe that's going out into the universe. And guess what's going to happen? By means of sympathetic resonance, that energy is what's going to come back to me. On the other hand, if you are manifesting something that is positive and loving and hopeful, then that's what you're going to get. Okay, if you're grateful and positive, that's the vibe that you're putting out there that's going to come back to you. But by putting it there, it reminds you that you are always creating, whether you like it or not. This is not a choice for you. There are certain things in life that are a choice. This is not one of them. By the very fact that you are here right now, you are manifesting. And again, it doesn't matter if you like that or not. That's what you do as a human. It's like breathing. You might be like, you know what? Fuck breathing. I don't want to breathe anymore. Okay, try that out. If you succeed, well, then you're not here anymore. But as long as you're here, you're breathing and you're manifesting, whether you like it or not. And so if you are reminded that the thoughts you're sending out there are going to determine the next second, the next minute, the next hour, the next day, then you start to become a little more responsible at that point, a little more responsible for the thoughts you're putting out there. And that's a really good way to calm down a little bit when you're freaking out, or you're starting to feel panicked, or you're starting to feel out of control, and you're starting to be like, okay, screw all this positivity shit, you know, because again, you're being bombarded. We are against a big negative force of clouds that's trying to come in here and make you feel totally off kilter and ajar, and to make you feel like you're drowning. This reminds you that you do have control. So that's it, okay? And it doesn't just apply to what we're doing right now in terms of this situation. It applies for the rest of your life. And at one point, I even gave out some decals to people who attended one of my events to put on the mirror, because the thing is, eventually, you'll just ignore that. That mirror with that little message on it will make a difference for you for maybe a few days. Maybe, if you're really good, a few weeks, maybe a month. But then you'll just start ignoring it. And that's why another really good tip is to get a calendar, whatever calendar that you use to keep appointments, and sit there right now and put on that calendar dates when I am going to move the position of that note. So, for example, let's say you stick that right now on your mirror. And then the next thing you do is you go straight to your calendar, whatever system that you use, and you write down, you go 7 days into the future, and you write down change sticker position. And then you go 7 days after that, and you write down change sticker position. And so on. And you do that for the rest of your life. So this is a reminder for you, because every time you change the position of that sticker, you're going to notice it again. You know, it's like you're starting over from scratch. It's a fresh thing, and you start noticing that, and it helps you to stay on track. That is such a piece of gold that I just gave you there. I hope you realize that, and I hope you tell other people about that. You see how simple that is? As a free thing that everybody can do, that is more valuable than gold and diamonds. That will determine the way that you are treating the world, and therefore how the world treats you. That is what I want you Jedis to do ASAP. You can do it right now while you're listening to the rest of this podcast. If not, do it when it's over. Do it as soon as possible. It's that important. And the sigil is a very specific thing. The sigil that I created to evaporate the coronavirus fear is a very specific thing. This is something that's a general thing and applies to everything you do in your whole life, and starts really taking this specific seed that we planted and now using it to shift the reality to come. You know, here's an interesting thing I want to bring up. There was an article posted on the Joshua P. Warren Daily Podcast Facebook page. I believe it was Mobius who posted it. And this article, it struck me because there are a number of scientific periodicals that have posted about this. But the gist of it is information a form of matter? Does information have mass? And this particular link that was posted is from the website bigthink.com. And there are scientists out there who are actually considering that information may be the fifth state of matter. I'm going to ask you to stretch your minds a little bit on this one. It's one of those rabbit hole things. Because, you know, you have the first state of matter is solid, and then the second is liquid, and then the third is gas, and the fourth is plasma. And now they're saying, could there be a fifth state of matter which explains dark matter? Because you hear all the time, like, we have these huge holes in our model that we can't explain, these big vacancies in what we observe out there, and we just call it dark matter. And so the question becomes, is it possible that information itself is a form of matter? And if you look at, like, okay, exactly what is matter? So in classical physics and general chemistry, here's the definition. Matter is any substance that has mass and takes up space by having volume. Okay, so has mass and takes up space. And you say, well, okay, well, what is mass? Well, mass, here's the definition, is a property of a physical body and a measure of its resistance to acceleration. Now, that may seem a little technical, but what we're really talking about here is just something that is tangible. All right, that's something that is measurable and tangible. And when you read this article, I'm sitting in front of my computer right now. I'll read you this little section. It says, the fifth state of matter. To measure the mass of digital information, you start with an empty data storage device. And next, you measure its total mass with a highly sensitive measuring apparatus. Then you fill it and determine its mass. Next, you erase one file and evaluate it again. Right? So this is like putting information on a disk and measuring it, and then removing that information and measuring it again. Simple enough, right? It says, the trouble is, the ultra-accurate mass measurement device that the paper describes scientifically does not exist yet. This would be an ultra-sensitive weighing machine similar to a kibble balance. I won't even get into that right now. Vobson, this scientist who's working on this, he says, I'm in the process of applying for a small grant with the main objective of designing such an experiment, followed by calculations to check if detection of these small mass changes is even possible. Assuming the grant is successful and the estimates are positive, then a larger international consortium could be formed to undertake the construction of the instrument. He says, if eventually proved correct, or it says, if proved correct, Vobson will have discovered the fifth form of matter. So what's the connection to dark matter? Vobson says, the number of bits of information that the visible universe would contain to make up all the missing dark matter there would be accounted for. It appears that my estimates of information of the universe are very close to the estimates. And so basically, in a nutshell, look, none of us, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I'm not like some quantum computer science genius who understands exactly what the hell's happening when I save an image to a floppy drive. Okay, I'm in my 40s now. Kids are like, a floppy drive? What the fuck is that? But without getting too technical, the idea is that you have a medium here and you put information on it and it changes. Now you put that thing in and, oh, I can see a picture, I can listen to a song, I can bring up a hologram, you know, whatever. But then you erase that and something is gone. It's this thing called information. And information, it may be something different from just changing the physical medium into zeros and ones that can be decoded. So my point is, behind all this, and the reason I think this is very interesting, is that whether or not you're quite clicking with this, if information in and of itself is indeed a form of matter that has mass and takes up space, then that may explain why, in part, that magic and manifestation and visualization, and for that matter, consciousness itself actually works. That when you think about something, it's not just some meaningless phantom that floats off into the universe and has no impact and doesn't interact with anything. That it might actually have some mass. That it might be able to resist acceleration. That when you think about something, when you focus on something, that it might actually become a substance that can make a difference in the world. And so when you're using psionics, radionics, again, various magical practices, whatever it takes in order for you to have a tool to focus your consciousness properly, perhaps what we're doing here is we're sending out something that basically has a tangible substance to it. That it's easy for people to roll their eyes and say, this is just a bunch of bullshit, just like it would be if people who were told about radio waves in the 1800s might have rolled their eyes and said, this is a bunch of bullshit. You're telling me about some kind of invisible thing that supposedly exists that you can tune that magically carries my voice from here to there. And I don't want to spoil too much, but you know, I recently watched the movie called The Current War, which is about the battle, I guess it's a war, it's about the struggle between Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla and Westinghouse over tapping into the electrical technology of the late 1800s and you know, AC versus DC, and you know, how all this stuff should be wired up. And the movie was a flop at the box office. It got very lukewarm reviews. Most people would give it, you know, 3 out of 5 stars on a good day. I actually liked it. I just watched it just recently, and I liked it because that not just because I'm into like electricity and all this. I thought they did a really good job of dramatizing some things that were potentially quite dry, and I also thought the actors did a really good job. I was surprised, so I liked the movie. And if you haven't seen The Current War, and you're interested at all in that period of history when those major, power players were trying to figure out how to create what would become this magnificent thing called the electrical grid, you should watch this movie. And I think one of the reasons it didn't do so well is because Harvey Weinstein was one of the original producers. And so as soon as he got busted, everybody who had his name associated with their project just went, "Oh, you fucking kidding me." Like, just my luck. That would suck so bad to put all the effort and all the heartfelt work that goes into making a movie into a project, and then something like that happens and it's like instantly stigmatized and no. So that didn't help it, I assure you. But anyway, I bring this movie up because, again, this is not really much of a spoiler, but I just thought it was pretty cool because you watch this whole movie where essentially Thomas Edison is arguing for his DC system and Westinghouse is arguing for the AC system. And that's pretty much like what the whole movie's about. And then right there toward the end, Westinghouse is playing pool or billiards or whatever with Tesla. And Tesla has this little notebook throughout the whole movie that he's kind of been keeping to himself. And Westinghouse goes, "Man, I'd love to see what's in that little notebook you got there." And so Tesla says, "Do you really want to hear what I think?" And he goes, "Yeah." And Tesla, and I'm paraphrasing this, but Tesla says, "You guys are looking at either end of this situation. You're looking at the generator on one end, and then you're looking at the light bulb or the machine on the other end." And Westinghouse is like, "Yeah." And he goes, "But what's in the middle?" And Westinghouse is like, "Yeah, the wires." And he goes, "Yeah, but what if we didn't need the wires?" Okay. And that for those of us who are kind of geeks into electrical engineering stuff, that kind of gives you goosebumps because that's just like one of the things at the end of the movie that's alluded to. Like this whole process, these guys have been obsessed over this certain way of thinking about this process. When throughout the whole movie, this other guy who's been right there through every bit of it, he's been thinking on a different level. He's already in the future. His mind is in the fucking future. He's thinking about the next phase of this. When you don't even need this linear pathway connecting A to B, where and that of course is how he invented remote control and all these things that we take for granted now and broadcasting and everything. So anyway, if you told somebody in the 1800s about the idea of remote control, that this invisible force is just going to go out there and do something, they would have thought, "Yeah, you go do that, you know." So nowadays, it may sound crazy for us to say we use our consciousness, which is, by the way, the most powerful thing that we're aware of, because every single thing that humans have ever created has begun with consciousness in the brain, right? So that's that we are let's just think about that for a minute. Every single thing that a human has created, including rocket ships that go to the moon or Mars for that matter, all that has come from the human consciousness. So that is the most powerful thing that we humans have. That's our original power supply. And so it therefore would make sense that if we're sending that power supply out into the universe, especially we're working together and doing it collectively, if what we're sending out, this information that we're sending out, is a form of matter and has mass, that would explain why that some of this manifestation stuff works. I got an email from a man in California named Michael, and he got one of my manifestation devices, and he wrote me this. It's very short. He says, "I got $1,000 out of the blue today. This is fun." He wrote me that like 3 days ago. But listen to this. This is a really interesting one. I got this from a woman in another country, and I don't want to give her name because I just got this email literally like 5 minutes before I started recording this podcast, but she's in another country. She said that, I'll just read her email, but I'll tell you, you know, I have this thing on my website in the Curiosity Shop called the Money Magic Kit. She says, "I was hoping you could answer a question that I have regarding the Money Magic Kit. As you can see below, I bought a kit from you last month and used it for the first time about 3 weeks ago. This morning, I've woken up to find the equivalent of $7,800 US. That's $7,800 US. And she gives her native currency here, but I won't give that out. $7,800 deposited into my bank account unexpectedly. See attachment." She actually sent me a screenshot of this in her account. She says, "That is a lot more than I had. Given that the reference on my account says salaries, I don't know where it comes from. I do not think I was the intended recipient. I'll be contacting the bank so that it can be returned, as I would not feel comfortable keeping it. So my question is this still the money magic at work? And if so, what is the purpose? Obviously, I'd have preferred to receive money that I feel I can keep, but does this somehow still have an energetic impact because it's facilitating a flow of money in and out of my life? Thank you in advance for your time. Kind regards," and she gives her name. Okay, so, isn't that interesting? So, in a nutshell, hopefully you understood, she used the money magic spell, and she has now thousands of dollars that just appeared in her account, but she doesn't think it's meant for her. But she is honest enough to contact the bank and try to return it. Now, you know what? Okay, for one thing, what if she contacts the bank and they say, "No, it turns out this is for you"? Because sometimes that happens. There are hidden sums of money out there that sometimes you can just tap into that will come to you unexpectedly. That's why I say that when you're trying to manifest money, you should not be too specific. You might cut off your opportunities. There are many different ways that money can come to you, and you don't know about all of them, and you can't imagine all of them. And so just if you're going to wish for, you know, something monetarily, don't restrict yourself in terms of how that can come in. So don't be like, "I'm going to hit this jackpot," or "I'm going to hit this lotto." No, you just say, "Here is either what I want, or better yet, here is what I'm going to get." That's my preference, is to say, go to the end result. Go for what you want to get. So this may, we'll see, I'll keep up with her, and maybe this, it'll turn out that this was meant for her, and this was some kind of money she was owed that she didn't even know about. Okay, that could very well be the case. But if it is a mistake, and you know it does happen, banks make mistakes, she's doing the right thing by contacting the bank and telling them there was a mistake, so that the person who deserves that money honestly can get it. But I do believe that this is a very powerful example of how that once you start attracting money, once you start opening that up, if you're a person who's really connecting with that, then yeah, you almost become a magnet for it, and it can start flying in from all directions. And it can, and it kind of reminds me, I've talked about this before, this book that I read when I was a kid called All the Money in the World. And it was one of those leprechaun stories. I actually met the guy who wrote this book. And basically when, in the story, this little boy finds a leprechaun and he gets a wish and he says, I want all the money in the world. And so all of a sudden, all the money in the world comes flooding in. He lives on a farm, and so the barn is just filled from the top to the bottom with all the money in the world. And so the problem is, all the people of the world start coming to get their money, and when they try to take it, it just flies back into the barn. And so he discovers that it's worthless, that if you have all the money in the world, it's now worthless. If one person has all of anything, it's worthless. It's a good lesson about how this, that money only has value if it is a product of exchange. So in other words, greed can kill you because it, this is all about an exchange of energy. So that is why when you start becoming a money magnet, sometimes you might be like attracting money that's sort of flying to you that doesn't even belong to you. And so, yes, at that point, it is your responsibility to do exactly what she's doing and point that out. But it's a good sign. It's a good sign. Because if you're attracting other people's money like that, oh boy, this lady, she's about to have a very interesting roller coaster ride. And all of her financial troubles are about to be over with. I promise you that. So, anyway, look, here are some, I got to wrap up here. I got a lot to do, but I want to tell you about some free stuff that doesn't cost you a penny. I want to remind you, if you have not yet watched, especially if you're sitting around and you're watching some, you know, shitty sitcom or whatever, go get online and watch my free feature-length 2012 movie, and it's not just about the year 2012. It's The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. All right, so if you go to YouTube, it's free. Just type in Joshua P. Warren and put in 2012 and Charleston. Watch that program because that is not a program that was just meant for 2012. It's not a program where I'm saying, the world's going to end in 2012. No, it's actually the opposite. What I was saying is that this is a transition period that the whole world is moving into. And so you can watch that for free. And people who have done this have been contacting me and thanking me and saying, it's amazing how like dead on some of the stuff was that you were talking about back then that is now still as relevant as ever. Also, another thing you can watch for free, go to wishingmachineproject.com and watch the Wishing Machine Workshop movie for free. The Wishing Machine Workshop movie. It's again, feature length. You just click the link to workshop there at wishingmachineproject.com. Watch that. I don't care if you buy anything, just watch it because it'll open your mind. It'll help you understand some things that I think will give you some ideas. And ideas are the most valuable things in the world, right? And my online paranormal course, now this is a wonderful time to take that. My online paranormal investigator course, it covers, oh gosh, you know, ghosts and UFOs and cryptids and psychic phenomena and magic and all that stuff. And then at the end of it, I tell you how to make money off of these things, how to research these things yourself, how to make money off of them. It's all streaming video. Everybody, hundreds of people around the world have taken this course. They all love it. And when you finish it, you get a test. And if you pass the test, then you get a certificate and you are now given a title, which is investigator. So you're no longer John Doe, you are Investigator John Doe, and you can now go out there and you can start contributing to the world in various ways as a professional investigator. I also want to point out that I know that, well, of course, you know, I've got my event, Finding Your Magic 2, scheduled for May 29th and 30th in Las Vegas here. And so I've had a few people say, are you still going to do the event? And yeah, it's a go at this point. I mean, at this point, the latest we've gotten from the government is that this whole situation should be, hopefully, you know, resolved, at least enough for us to kind of start getting back to normal by May 1st. And maybe that won't happen. Who knows? We just have to wait and see what, you know, all the medical professionals tell us. But if that happens and everything's back to normal or getting back to normal by May 1st, well, that gives us a whole other month until my event, which is May 29th and 30th here in Las Vegas. Finding Your Magic 2. It's the last conference that I'm going to produce. And you can see why. Like, I kind of had a feeling that the world was becoming so unpredictable that you hate to put all this effort into a conference and then have to change it at the last minute. My conference was actually at the same time as Contact in the Desert. And so there were a lot of people who wanted to come to my deal that said, oh man, I already have tickets for Contact in the Desert. Well, guess what? Contact in the Desert just announced that they are postponing their event. So now there's no conflict. So as it stands right now, my event is still a go. So it's in Las Vegas, May 29th and 30th. Go to youwillmanifest.com, youwillmanifest.com, and click the link at the top there to get all the information. We still have tickets left. We still have tickets left. And if you want to be there, just know that this is going to be even more special than I thought it was, because we're all going to be getting together after all this crazy shit. Like, do you know how much more kick-ass this is all going to be? So, look, if this whole virus thing gets extended and I have to change that event, then I'll contact everybody and we'll work it out. But for now, let me tell you, you can still get your ticket, especially if you were going to go to Contact in the Desert and there was a conflict. No conflict anymore. YouWillManifest.com. Go get your ticket there to Finding Your Magic 2, May 29th and 30th in Las Vegas. All right, my friends. Again, I don't know when I'll be able to record another one of these for you, but because this week is going to be very much up in the air as I finish up some of this TV stuff. But here's what's most important for you right now. Aside from doing the things that I have asked you to do as a Jedi, you have to share this with everyone you know. So whether or not people want to listen, right now people might be more receptive than ever. So please, please, send this podcast to everybody that you know. Ask them to just start listening, give it a listen, and just see whether or not they like it. For those who do like it and want to keep up with our progress as we work on these manifestation exercises, I hope that you will all sign up for my free e-newsletter. And you do that simply by going to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Takes you 2 seconds. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and you will instantly receive what I call a free digital good luck charm. You'll see what I mean once you receive it. While you're there, click around, look at all the crazy stuff, go to the Gallery of the Strange, go to the Curiosity Shop, and see things there that you will not find anywhere else in the world, including some really fascinating, one-of-a-kind, truly unique, handcrafted manifestation tools that are very user-friendly. Go to the Curiosity Shop. But while you're there, you'll find a link on the homepage to this podcast called Joshua P. Warren Daily. Click that link. This podcast is always short, it's always free, it's completely independent, it is uncensored, and when you click that link, you can subscribe through various means, or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and I will usually tweet when a new one is available. So, that is it for today. Oh boy, you can imagine there's much more to come. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.